Do you like running? How about running marathons? How about 100-mile ultra marathons? Can you imagine running marathons in your 60s, 70s, or even your 80s? We'll talk about the lessons we can learn from older athletes this hour, and we will welcome your questions and your experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will talk with a guest author who decided to get into the best shape of her life in her 50s. And she'll share with us the stories of women who are achieving amazing levels of fitness who are even older. How do they do it? Why do they do it? How healthy is this anyway? Our guest is Margaret Webb. She is a long-distance runner, volunteer running coach for underprivileged kids. She's an author, a journalist, a screenwriter, and she is the author of Older, Faster, Stronger: What Women Runners Can Teach Us All About Living Younger, Longer. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show.
So you decided to get into the best shape of your life after the age of 50. Why did you decide to do that?
Oh, the typical midlife crisis, staring down turning 50. I felt, that I needed more focus in my life. I was kind of struggling a little bit with depression. I was irritated because a bad smoking habit had come back. I was struggling to lose weight that seemed to be piling on me with menopause coming on. And I just, this idea popped into my head that I should run a marathon. And I listened to that crazy idea.
Oh, my goodness. You had a sister who motivated you, though, didn't she?
I did. I have been kind of what I call a shuffling runner through my life. I have flat feet, and I've always struggled with carrying extra weight, and I always thought that running would hurt my knees, it would hurt my back, and so I always did this kind of shuffling walk run, maybe a couple of times a week. And then when I was 42, my sister, who's 13 years older than me, and really wasn't all that athletic, she didn't start going to the gym until age 50. But when she was 57 and I was, 52 and I was 42, mm-hmm. She challenged me to run a half marathon. And I said, "You're crazy. I can't even begin to think about doing that. I don't even know how long one is." But, my mom, she had polio when she was a young woman in her 20s. And I saw her my whole life staying in shape, struggling to stay in shape, because she knew that one day her legs would wear out. She walked with a cane her whole life, but she knew one day her legs would wear out. She needed to keep her upper body strong. And so she swam. And both my older sister and my mom set this example for me. And I thought, well, gee, if my mom can swim in her 80s, surely I can take up the challenge of running a half marathon.
Mm-hmm. So why did you focus on running in particular? Why was that the sport that you chose?
Well, it's easy. I'm a writer, so I work at home. I can throw on my running shoes at any time of the day and go outside and get some fresh air and go for a run. It's something that I find the benefits of running so incredible that when you do it on a regular basis and when you push yourself a little bit, it's the easiest way to lose weight. It's great for weight control. Psychologically, from a mental well-being, I come back from a run, I always feel fantastic. Even if it's a difficult run, I always feel fantastic. And it keeps my mood even, and I'm calm, I'm happy, I'm content. I'm exhilarated, so the psychological well-being that I get from running is just so incredible that I would do it for that alone. But the physical benefits are incredible, and I just enjoy it. It's a time to go out and be with my own thoughts, or it's a time to go out and run with friends and meet new friends. I write in my book that in my running club, I meet whoever my pace introduces me to.
Mm-hmm. And you run alongside them and chat.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Women are, and men too as well, but I think women have a particular talent for talking. And We run for hours training for marathons, you know, on our particularly long runs when we get up to 30. Well, I'm going to be talking Canadian distances here, 30K or 35K, which translated is about 20 miles, 22 miles, 24 miles we'll get up to in training on a single run. We will talk away about our week, our family, what we're going through, our hopes, our dreams, our, you know, current affairs. The hours just kind of disappear as we run along. So why not socialize over a run as opposed to a martini?
You know, my husband was a runner, and I say was because he doesn't do it anymore. And he described how much he loved it and a little bit of that runner's high and the benefits of it. But now his knees are shot. Mm. Is that an issue for most or not?
Well, this is an interesting question. You know, so many people say when they hear about runners, oh, you're going to ruin your knees, you're going to ruin your knees. In fact, the Stanford study published this huge study. They followed runners and non-runners who are matched by age, by socioeconomic markers, background, and they followed them for about 20 years. And at the end of the 20 years, they discovered that non-runners had higher issues with their knees by a significant margin than do runners. Now, I'm not saying that people who run are not going to suffer knee problems. Maybe some will, maybe some won't. Is it the running? My feeling is this: when you don't run, it's a struggle to, especially in these modern food times, it's a struggle to keep weight off. And if you're carrying extra weight, that is probably going to be more problematic for your knees and your hips and your feet and your joints than running. If you run properly, if you get proper running shoes, if you vary your running surfaces, if you cross-train properly to keep all of your muscles strong, I have never had knee pain running. If I do experience a little knee pain, I know it's time to get a new pair of running shoes. Mm-hmm. And I'm flat-footed. The other thing I'll say about that is running strengthens every part of your body. So when you stress your body reacts by sending out human growth hormone, natural human growth hormone, various other hormones that strengthen your body, that heals your, you know, that makes your muscles stronger, makes your tendons stronger, makes your bones stronger. And so it only goes to make sense that it will also make your joints stronger.
Yeah, and that makes sense. He could have had that arthritis in his knee even if he wasn't a runner.
Well, it could have been he could have suffered, mm-hmm. you know, a sports injury as a younger person that manifested itself later. I don't know. I'm not. Right. I won't pass myself off as an expert, but I will say this: I underwent a bone scan, a DEXA bone scan, which is a measure. Well, it measures your density. It measures your body composition, like fat to muscle ratio, in every single part of your body. And I underwent that study at a university in Canada, in Montreal, McGill University, with an 85-year-old marathoner. And it was extremely interesting because that 85-year-old marathoner, her hips, which, you know, for older people, everybody's worried about mm-hmm. your hips. You fall, you break your hip, that's very dangerous for frail older folks. Her hips, and she's an 85-year-old marathoner, she had the bone density of a woman several decades younger. At age 51, in my DEXA bone scan, in 6 of 7 regions of my body, I had the bone density not just better of somebody in my age group, but better than the average age of 30-year-old women.
Wow.
And so people say, well, is that genetics or is that from your running? I can't say because I didn't have the DEXA scan when I was 20.
Right, and there is though research that says that body impact exercise helps your bone density, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah. Cycling's a fantastic sport. Swimming is a fantastic sport for cardio, but it's not good for bone density. In order to build bone density, you need to stress your bones in the same way that you stress your muscles with weightlifting. And so that pounding that everybody's so afraid of with running is actually going to increase your bone density. Mm-hmm. And my sister, who challenged me to run a half marathon, she went on to become an Ironman. So she started going back to the gym at 50 because she was you know, at the heaviest weight of her life and was just tired of carrying the extra weight. And she went back to the gym and she trained to become an Ironman. Now, she was in an osteoporosis study when before she embarked on her fitness journey because she was, showing signs declining bone density that wasn't going to be healthy. Now she's not out of the study. She's considered to have, a decent and good bone density. Now, is that because of the weight, the cycling, the swimming, the running, the cross training that she did to prepare to become an Ironman at age 57?
Well, yeah, but it's not easy, is it? Becoming not just an athlete, but a super athlete after the age of 50, isn't there a lot of, processes in the body that slow us down and that sort of thing?
Sure. I would never advocate somebody to say tomorrow and set your goal. You're not, if you're not a runner, in a year run a marathon. I would never advocate that. I think people should approach the running journey carefully and cautiously, and understand that you're making a commitment for life on this fitness journey. The most important thing is not to get hurt. If you push too hard too soon, you will suffer an injury, and then you'll be back on the couch, and then mm-hmm. the whole motivation thing to get back out there will be a challenge. So you need to walk, run, perhaps lose some weight if you're carrying extra pounds that are going to be, stressful for your joints to suddenly start running. You get in shape to get in shape, and you do it gradually. The best thing is set the habit, start walking, start walk running, and just continually increase your fitness level each week. It's a gradual process. But the thing is, you'll be astonished. It seems to come slowly, but you'll be astonished if you keep a diary about how fast the change comes. In my so-called super fit year, I started lifting weights. I hadn't lifted any weights since my 20s. And I doubled my weights that I was lifting in 4 months. I couldn't believe it. It was just, and the change in my strength was, I kind of shocked myself. And so people will, and especially if they're starting from a level where they haven't been all that active, you will astonish yourself how quickly the fitness comes. Keep a journal and remind yourself, check in with yourself every couple of weeks.
I know that certainly you did this through running.
Uh-huh.
What if you don't like running?
do what you like. This is the thing that the 85-year-old world record holding marathoner BJ McHugh, the 80-year-old world record holder marathoner Gwen McFarlane, who did not start running until she was 60 after a diagnosis of breast cancer. All of these super senior runners, and I don't pretend I'll ever run a world record. That's just mm-hmm. I'm a recreational runner in the sense of my speeds and my times. I take it seriously and I commit to the training, but they all tell me they do it because it's fun. Okay. They don't do it because of fitness. They may have started out because of fitness reasons, but they stick at it because it's fun. They enjoy it. And that has been a huge message to me, is constantly find ways to make your fitness journey enjoyable. So if you like to walk. Walking's amazing. It's fantastic exercise. If you want to get the kind of training benefits out of walking that you might get out of running, walk hills. Speed up your walk at certain points in time. Do a little warm-up walk, and then in the middle of the walk, like really press it, like you're running late for the bus. Mm-hmm. And you will get those training effects that you get out of running.
We are talking with Margaret Webb. She's a long-distance runner, volunteer running coach, an author, a journalist, a screenwriter. And we are talking with her about her book, Older, Faster, Stronger, What Women Runners Can Teach Us All About Living Younger, Longer. And we're talking about the health benefits of being in shape when you're older. Is it possible to be in the best shape of your life after the age of 50, 60, 70, 80? What about you? Are you an athlete over the age of 50? What sport do you participate in and why? Are you a runner like our guest? What have you gotten out of it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Margaret Webb. She is the author of Older, Faster, Stronger, What Women Runners Can Teach Us All About Living Younger Longer. And our first caller is Pat in Springdale. Hello, Pat.
Hey, good morning, Joy. I just wanted to say how much I really appreciate the show. I'm on my way into a turbo kick class, so I've got to make this quick. At 50, I was in really good shape. I did Pilates, running. I got dunked in the tank, and my body fat was 15%. And then I kind of let things slide, and I got back in shape in my early 60s. I'm 62 now, and I don't know if I've ever been stronger. Maybe I've been a little stronger when I was younger, but I'm scarily strong now from doing a lot of cross training, working with really great trainers. I get a different routine every month and a lot of strength training. I'm not a distance runner. I like to run maybe 2, 3, 5 miles max, but I can't believe the muscle I've built. Just women don't give up. I've never felt better, and it's a great show, and I got to go turbo kick now.
Great. Good for you. That's motivating just to hear you, Pat. A reaction, Margaret?
Well, the researchers that I spoke to who have studied strength training for women and men, one study in particular that looked at strength training for women, and they found that women in about a 4-month strength training program, you know, twice a week, we're not talking, you know, all that onerous, were able to turn back the time clock on their muscle, the biological age of their muscle by a couple of decades. They're able to increase their strength by about 40% in a fairly short period of time. We would all agree that 4 months is 2 times a week is not that onerous. And yet the benefits have been extraordinary. And a lot of women perhaps don't think that building muscle, you're not ever going to, you know, bulk up like a man. Building muscle for a woman is critical to keeping us strong and upright, especially when we age and we tend to lose muscle mass and get frail. But it's a fantastic storage container for extra calories. We have 2 storage containers in our body, fat cells and muscle cells. And if we build muscle, if we happen to take in extra calories, a muscle is a far preferable storage container because it's a metabolic workhorse. When you have muscle working for you, it's emitting all sorts of fantastic things into your body that keeps you young, that keeps you strong and vital.
Next we go to Jackie in Drummond. Hello, Jackie.
Oh, yes, what an interesting show. I live in northern Wisconsin, the heart of cross-country skiing and the Birkebeiner. Mm-hmm. And so we have a group, 4 different groups of women who do something once a week. A lot of us are still doing the Birkebeiner or the Coeur d'Alope. Some, train for recreational skiing. I have a friend who finished her Birkebeiner at the age 80, and that's skiing 35 miles. And at 74, I'm still slowly doing the Birkebeiner. And I think most of us have found that exercise has been a lifetime endeavor. But I think we do have met people that in their 50s and 60s have started exercising, and you can really see a difference.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Jackie. You're still skiing the Birkebeiner.
Oh, yeah, slowly. Everybody wants me to quit and do the Coeur d'Alope, but I just can't quite quit yet. It's just kind of your way of life. But it's just, I mean, yesterday we went hiking, and there were like 10 women over 65, and we hiked for an hour and a half. We do this every Wednesday, so it's all a part of our life up here. And we are fortunate enough to be retired, and I think that's another issue. You could probably address how women who are younger with children can fit this into their into their program. But thank you. This was really fun this morning.
I'm glad you called. I'd like that you to address Jackie's question about I guess younger women versus older women. But also she said that everybody she knows and herself included, our exercise has been a lifetime endeavor. Is that necessary?
Yes, of course it's necessary. Our bodies are meant to move. And Jackie, I loved your comment. Mm. You make me want to go out there and hike and ski with you guys.
Yeah,
that sounds exciting. We sit at our desk too much. We need to get out there and move. Our bodies are designed for movement. When we move, we release all sorts of fantastic things like natural growth hormone, and for older women, DHEA, which is a naturally circulating steroid, which can be metabolized into estrogen. You know, so we can naturally have estrogen replacement therapy through exercise, because DHEA is stimulated by exercise. Our brain produces it, and so critical mm-hmm. into aging. Now, as for older women, or sort of younger women, it is challenging. It is very challenging juggling work, home responsibilities, which still too often fall on women's shoulders, raising children, et cetera, et cetera. But in the way that my mom was a role model for me to keep me focused on thinking about staying active throughout my life, moms are our biggest role models in our lives. And so women who may feel guilty about taking time away from their family or their kids, I would say that the best thing you can do to set a fitness example for them and a health example is to take care of your own health. One study that was done out of Utah took a look at families with moms who run, and they actually found those families to be more egalitarian in that there was more of a sharing of household duties. And that even became more pronounced when both mom and dad were runners, that there was much more equitable sharing of household duties. And I would suspect that would lead to happier families as well.
Mm, good side effect. Bill in Plover is with us now. Hello, Bill.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, the question I hope this applies to both male and females, but, you know, I've been a runner since I was in high school, but I'm 60 now, and my arthritis is bad enough that it just seems pretty uncomfortable, and so I stopped in the spring. So I'm just wondering, you know, how people in general, you know, deal with that situation.
Mm-hmm. Margaret, do you have any, I guess, advice if somebody feels that an injury or arthritis is preventing them from doing a sport like running that they loved? Is there ways to deal?
Well, I mean, I'm not an expert on arthritis, and I didn't look at that specific issue so much in my book. But I will say that runners, no matter what sport you play, just being in life, we can develop injuries. We can be in car accidents. We can develop things that prevent us from doing the sport we love. And when I see my running friends develop an injury, you know, and often that may come from only running and not doing the cross training. If we only run, we will probably develop repetitive mm-hmm. strain injuries. And when we lose our sport, then we don't know what to do, and we're at loose ends. And you know, so that is when the value of cross training comes in. That I don't advocate people just run. If you are a triathlete doing multiple sports, that's fantastic. I incorporate weight training. I love to swim. I try to do yoga. You know, so I try to do a multiple number of sports, and I want to increase that number. So that when we can't do one sport, we can do another.
Yeah.
And so I would suggest that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill, for the call. Well, it sounds like your cross training those are many of the things that I do. I just don't do the running.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. Like you know, like I say, do what you love. I mean, all sports will give you great benefits. I think with the running, what it did do for me in my what I call my super fit year, where I did this very, very focused and intense year of training to try to get in the best shape of my life, to try to beat markers that I had set in my 20s, it taught me how to train, how to train my body. So when I was talking earlier about, okay, you go for a walk, well, you know what, a couple of days a week, make that walk really hilly. A couple of days a week or within every walk, really, really push your pace. Get your heart rate up. So doing the focused training helped me learn how to train, and that those training principles are transferable to any sport. So whatever sport you do, you can kind of push it a bit, you know.
Yeah, and our caller from Plover, if it helps anyway, my husband, took up walking and hiking and biking and just started doing many other things to replace the running when it became too painful for him to run.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy in Racine is with us now. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Joy. What a great show. Mm-hmm. You guys do such a good job. I just wanted to say, as a woman who has entered her 40s and all the strange things that start happening to your body as you get older. I had chose earlier in the year I wanted to just start walking. And actually, that now has turned into running for me. And I didn't ever think that would happen. If you had told me the beginning of the year, hey, you're gonna be able to run. You're gonna be able to go on mm-hmm. a run and go for 4 or 5 miles. I would have never believed it. So people just need to be patient with themselves. And it's been really, really motivating hearing everybody call in and talk about what they're doing. So thanks for the great show.
Well, thanks very much. So sometimes you can surprise yourself, Margaret.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I love that comment because, you know, I do think once you start to move and start to get physically active, you do astonish yourself. And you look back and you think, wow, how could I ever? I never imagined I could run the distances that I run. I never imagined that me, this shuffling, short, overweight, smoking, flat-footed runner, would ever qualify for the Boston Marathon. And not just qualify, but you know, minutes, 10, 12, 22 minutes under the qualifying time for my age group.
Congratulations. My goodness. Yeah. So tell us about some of the other women who have made amazing achievements.
Well, I had running adventures with fabulous women over the age of 50 all over North America. Where to start? I met 94-year-old Olga Kotelko, who is considered the world's oldest, greatest athlete. She passed away in the spring at age 95 of an aneurysm. But about a month or two before she passed away, she set a whole slew of world records at the World Masters Games. And I would suspect that most 94-year-olds are not you know, necessarily jumping on an airplane, let alone going on an airplane to Budapest and competing and winning world records or setting world records. So she was phenomenal, and I worked out with her, and she was throwing the shot put and the discus and some of the stuff that she was doing. I was nervous to actually do it because I'm not trained to throw like the hammer, to swing a hammer around in the air and then let it go. You know, my muscles aren't used to that, but this 94-year-old was doing it.
I think I saw her on a video. Maybe it was her, because I saw sweet little old lady swinging around this huge metal ball that she would set flying.
Yes. Yeah. People Google her, Kotelko, Kotelko, and you will see her throwing. There's lots of videos, and it will so inspire you, and you'll think, well, God, if a 94-year-old can do that, surely I can, you know, surely I can start. And so there are tremendous stories like that. Another story that I really love is, you know, Gwen McFarlane, who was 60 years old. She had, she was a school teacher, raised two children. You know, that stressed, busy life that women have. And she developed breast cancer at age 60. And she said, you know what, it's time for me to put myself first, my health first. She started running. 15 years later, at age 75, she ran a world record marathon that was faster. It was 3:57. That was faster than the average finishing time of 20 to 40-year-old men in the New York City Marathon. And I think that astonishes a lot of us because we sort of think of older women as sort of being the weakest, right, of the adults. Young men, young women, middle-aged men, middle-aged women. Who's the weakest? And yet at age 75, she was able to kick the butt of many, many younger men.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing. So you are right now in the best shape of your life.
Yeah, in my super fit year, I wanted to... Now, when I was a college athlete, I played ice hockey for the University of Toronto. And I considered myself in pretty good shape. During my super fit year at age 50, I felt stronger. I had incredible energy. By VO2 standards, I had my VO2 tested. And college-age women fall into a VO2 range of 40 to 46. Now, these are just numbers. Mm-hmm. But for women my age, sedentary menopausal women around the age of 50, the VO2 level is around 28, 29. And I started my year out at 39, and I ended it off at 43, which is right smack in the middle of trained college-age women, you know, so young women who are playing sports and on sports teams and things.
Is that your oxygen level in your blood, or what is that?
Yeah, your VO2 measures basically the capacity of your heart, lungs, and muscles to take in oxygen and pump it to your working muscles and exchange it. So it's kind of like saying that your car gets 70 miles to the gallon or 50 miles to the gallon. It's kind of a measure of your ability to work, in a sense, like to run, to cycle.
And you're getting pretty good mileage these days.
I'm getting very good mileage. And the other thing that was really cool about it, just with the weight training I did and increasing my lean muscle mass, and I'm lighter now. I'm leaner. I don't want to say, I don't like the term skinny, and I don't want to, like, lose. You know, weight is all relative, but I am leaner and more muscly now than I was as a 20-year-old. And that is keeping me, whatever may be happening with my bone density, women are all concerned about their bone density. We have to keep that. But, you know, we have to keep our muscles strong, because the muscle is what holds up the skeleton. And people would be shocked to know that when I went under a DEXA scan, my skeleton weighed 4.5 pounds.
And how much does a normal skeleton weigh?
Yeah, that's a normal skeleton, right? That's women, you know, for my age and height. You know, BJ's skeleton, she's an 85-year-old marathoner. Her skeleton weighed about a pound less than mine, a little bit less than a pound less than mine. She had the most incredible upright posture you can ever imagine. What was interesting, at age 85, BJ had 6 more pounds of lean muscle mass than I did.
I see, yeah.
So it was her musculature that was holding her up. You know, we think of you think of your muscle mass as a corset you wear over your entire body, and that's what keeps you upright. So it's not just about keeping your skeleton strong; it's keeping your muscle strong so that it holds that quite frail skeleton upright.
We are talking about the benefits of exercise. We're talking about how you can be older, faster, stronger. That's the name of our guest's book. Margaret Webb is the author of Older, Faster, Stronger, What Women Runners Can Teach Us All About Living Younger, Longer. And we're welcoming your questions for her. We're welcoming any athletic feats that you would like to share. Are you an athlete over the age of 50? What motivated you to get into exercise? What sports do you participate in, and why? Are you a runner? Have you gotten into better shape as you have gotten older? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the lessons we can learn from older athletes. Our guest introduces us to many of them. These are women in their 60s, 70s, and even 80s who are achieving amazing levels of fitness, running marathons, 100-mile ultra marathons. Our guest herself decided to get into the best shape of her life after the age of 50, and she writes all about it in Older, Faster, Stronger, What Women Runners Can Teach Us All About Living Younger, Longer. Margaret Webb is our guest, a long-distance runner, volunteer, running coach, and author, journalist, and screenwriter. Boy, we have lots of Facebook comments. Barbara on Facebook says, both my sisters are over 50 and they run. They excel in their age groups and they have both qualified for Boston. They love it. But on the flip side, both are constantly injured and going to, I don't know where they're going to, but I'm wondering, is
rehab
it?
Rehab clinics.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Is it? Oh, to PT. That's it, PT. Yeah. Is it worth it? For them, it is for now. What's your reaction?
Yeah. The repetitive nature of any sport, as we get older, we tend to move in a single direction. If you think about swimming, cycling, running, we move our bodies in a very repetitive fashion over and over, and that can be problematic. And so I think runners are more and more discovering that we need to cross-train. So do I advocate running and only running? Absolutely not. I think it's really important to build a variety of activities into your sport. I know for myself. And the other thing, you know, running a marathon may not be for everybody. I have found for myself that I run a fantastic marathon one year, and then I may start to suffer from some strain injuries and a not-so-good marathon. And then I back off my running a bit, and then I run a really good marathon, and it goes in that cycle. And so for myself, I'm actually going to experiment with backing off the marathon, focusing on the half marathon for a couple of times a year, and focusing on the 5 and 10K races, and doing the speed training. So maybe backing off my distance a little bit. Everybody's body is different, and you've got to figure out what works for your body.
Let's go next to Annie in Chippewa Falls. Hello, Annie.
Hi. I just wanted to offer some encouragement for women who feel that they're going to be heavy their whole lives. I had been probably morbidly obese for about 20 years, and my son had his wife had a child and got married, and I just said, you know what, I need to lose some weight if I'm going to grow up and see this little girl grow up. So I started walking, and on the treadmill, and every day for 40 days I walked as far as I possibly could, and I lost some weight, and I went on a trip, and I came back from the trip, and I said, I want to lose some more, and I lost over 80 pounds, and my life is so much better quality because of that weight loss.
I believe it. Are you just, is walking your primary activity for exercise then, Annie?
It is, because I have very flat feet, and so I pronate so strongly that it's not good for my hips, so I wear orthotics and walk. But I'm just in so much better shape, and I just have a better attitude about my relationship with food and exercise, and I don't love it, and I realize that I'm not going to ever be able to run a marathon, but I'm good with where I'm at.
Margaret?
Yeah, that's fantastic, and I think that's the other thing about becoming physically active is we do tune into our body, and rather than sort of being at war with our body and being at war with extra weight we may be carrying or frailty as we get older, we come to appreciate our bodies. We find our inner athlete, no matter what level we may compete at or what we may do. We find our inner athlete. We appreciate our body. We love our body. We start to say, why would I reward it with bad fuel? I want to put good fuel in this body. I wouldn't put bad fuel in my Ferrari car. Why would I put bad fuel in my Ferrari body? So I think that's the joy. We can fall in love with our bodies, and certainly, yeah. This is a ridiculous thing to admit on radio, but when I got in what I think is the best shape of my life after 50, I spent a little bit of time standing in front of the mirror in a way that I have never done in my entire life.
I believe it. I lost a lot of weight through Weight Watchers and exercise. I took up exercise, yeah. And I now do. It's a part of every single day. I'm doing doing some sort of exercise in this cross training fashion, and I've learned that if I don't, I don't feel as good, and if I don't do it as much, the weight piles back on. So
yeah,
it's we actually had a caller who wanted you to talk a little bit about, I don't know, the running and menopause, and if that helps you go through menopause, or if menopause hinders you in any way.
Mm-hmm. You know, from the research that I did in the book, people will say that exercise definitely benefits the transition, that women who run or work out in a fairly vigorous way, I think the minimum dose that you need is 5 days a week and up to an hour. And now it doesn't all have to be running. It could be a combination. Mm-hmm. But psychologically, they feel a lot better. They feel less of the stress and the mood swings and the depression that can come on with this fairly phenomenal change in life. And if you think about it, when we go through menopause, we are losing estrogen. Now, a lot of people say, well, estrogen replacement therapy, there's a whole mm-hmm. movement to look at that again and consider that. And you get estrogen replacement therapy through exercise, because exercise stimulates your brain to produce DHEA, D-H-E-A, which can be taken up in your muscles as estrogen. So we do. That's how we get our estrogen replacement therapy, is through exercise. So that's why I believe so many women take up running in their late 40s or exercise or get back to it, because they feel, I need to revitalize myself, and that's the way we do it.
Now, Marsha on Facebook has a kind of a negative comment here, but mm-hmm. I just want mm-hmm. you to be able to counter it. I'd rather sure. cut off my right arm than run. Luckily, thanks to my arthritic back, I simply can't.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked at runners out running? Have you ever noticed how few of them are smiling? So apparently she thinks that, you know, that tells her all she needs yeah. to know. Is running really enjoyable?
Well, I would like her to take a look at my trailer for Older, Faster, Stronger, which she can find on my website. She'll see me smiling throughout all of my running adventures. Some runners, people walk down the street without smiles on their face. Runners are caught up in their own mind. They're caught up in their own thoughts. They're not necessarily, I don't know how many baseball players and hockey players go around with smiles on their faces right. when they're in their sport. But running is for those who love it, like for those who do it, they do it because they love it. It's a very joyous activity. And she should see the smiles on people's faces when they finish a race, where there's a huge personal achievement and satisfaction. Now, that said, if somebody asked me to take up ballet or yeah. Classical dance, I would rather cut off my right arm. So, like I say, to each their own. I'm not here to say everybody should run and you will love running. No, I mean, we all love different kinds of things, and I think the important thing is to find out what you love to do. But movement is critical.
And you can get that runner's high with those other movements.
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, this runner's high is a bit of I run with a lot of runners who claim that they never get
right.
this runner's high, that endorphin release.
Hubby never got it.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I don't know what it means for myself. Like, I don't know that when I'm running, I suddenly feel this, this endorphin release. I do know that when I come back from anything, whether it's hiking, a long swim, a long cycle, running, I feel better. Psychologically better. My body likes that tired feeling of having worked. I do believe, it's not what I believe, it's what the research shows,
right.
That any physical movement is going to benefit your body. One of the, Dr. Greg Wells, who I quote in my book, says that running exercise is the best drug we can take in the world. If it were a drug, it would be the best-selling drug in the world. All we have to do is go out and exercise.
Diane in Elkhorn is with us now. Hi, Diane.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to call kind of in response to someone who asked about people with kids and what you could recommend. And I don't know if they have super recommendations for them, because time was such a limited thing in my life with a two-hour commute every day. But just keeping active with the kids was a good thing and stuff. So that when they finally went off to college, I managed to join an exercise group that incorporates music with exercise, called Jazzercise, and it's been awesome. It not only has made me stronger, because there's strength components, it has lots of cardio, but it's so great for the mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You were just talking about the runner's high. I think it's just like your aerobics high. So just to give encouragement to people who've maybe been out of the exercise routine for a few years, you can get back into it. I'm 57 or 58, actually, and it wasn't that hard. And it's been a really good thing.
Diane, I know I just rejoined Jazzercise not that long ago. It's a blast, isn't it?
Oh, it's really lots of fun. And,
yeah.
and that's the other thing, is being with a group of people has always been a big motivator for me. It, I have done running, recreational running, and on my own it was a lot harder than when I did it with a group, and likewise with the jazzercise, it really helps to do it with lots of other people.
Yeah, so I mean, there are a lot of social benefits to that sort of thing, right, Margaret?
Yeah, I was going to jump in. I in my 20s, when I didn't think I could run, it was interesting, because I had flat feet, hadn't discovered orthotics yet, I could not stand for 10 minutes on my feet. And I did aerobics in university, and I loved it. I absolutely love it. I think it's a fantastic form of exercise, and it's fun, it's joyous, you're doing it to music, you're doing it with a group. And it's one of the things that I do love about running is the, people say it's the loneliness of the long-distance runner. I think the women's running boom has changed that perception dramatically, because we women like to run in packs. Not all women, but a lot of women like to run in groups, and it's very social. And one of the professors that I quote in my book talks about the social contagion that can be a positive thing. So when women run together and they're having a great day and they're exuberant, we catch that social contagion and our run feels easier. When I run with other people, a run almost always feels easier than when I run on my own.
I think we have time for one more call. Cindy in Middleton. Hello, Cindy.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. I understand you took up running a little bit later in life.
I did. I started at 43, and I'm 53 now, and I'm still running. In fact, I just did the Haunted Hustle last Sunday, and I just love it. I just love it. I think that, you know, now probably I'm in the best shape I've been in since my 20s. And it's just, I mean, for your mental well-being, for your physical well-being, if you can do it, go do it. I ran a marathon at 43. And prior to that, I had literally, sat on the couch and smoked. So it was so liberating to be able to finally use my body again in a way that it's designed to be used, and I just love it. But I got to run because I have contractors here, but thank you so much.
You that's appropriate. You have to run. And how could you not love something that you could do the Haunted Hustle to, Mark?
There are a lot of fun runs out there now, and that's the other thing that women have brought to this sport. They brought a lot of fun to it. So there's color runs and Tough Mudder runs and, runs where you run through, I don't know,
yeah,
foam and bubbles and chocolate runs, and so women are really bringing a sense of joy and fun, and not, it doesn't have to be, oh, we're all trying to lower our times and compete harder and faster. It's just a very joyous activity, and you can approach it in whatever way you want.
In our final minute, what's your takeaway for our listeners?
Well, I have loved listening to mm-hmm. the stories. It sounds like a fun state with a lot of fun people out there doing cool things. And
but your I guess message for them, what you're trying to convey with your book?
Yeah, well, it's never too late to find your inner athlete. You will astonish yourself when you start to move. You will fall back in love with the joy of life and your body. I think you'll bring a greater sense of joy and happiness to the people around you. In almost all ways, not in almost, I think I can't think of a way that life, that running has not improved my life. And I'm just so very thankful to the sport. Mm-hmm. And if it weren't running, it would be some other sport. So whatever it is, just do it.
Well, this was fun and motivational. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Margaret Webb is the author of Older, Faster, Stronger. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Brianne Chasseau for producing the program. This is the Ideas Network.